Good morning again, church. You guys ready for some more turkey this week? Yeah. So a couple of weekends ago, it was me and Tyler, and my wife is in Philadelphia. And so it was time for breakfast, so I do what I do. I cook breakfast, which means we went to Shipley's Donuts. We got a few donuts, we got some milk, we ate them in the car. And it was funny because we were going to go to the mall, and we're driving away, and he goes, "Dad, more donuts." And I said, "There's no more donuts." And he looks at me and he goes, "Dad, more donuts in the store." Like, it's not this hard of a problem to figure out. And what I loved about it was, one, his simple problem-solving skills. Like, hey, man, I'm two and I figured this one out. And I also love just that human nature that's even in the littlest of us that always wants what? More. Right, here he is, this little two-year-old, had plenty of donut, had filled up his tummy, and yet, was he done? No, he wanted more of that because he enjoyed it, he liked it, and so what is it? I want to keep going back. Yesterday, we celebrated his birthday, and the kid just kept eating cake and cake pops, and I think he would have done that for hours if we just kept giving them to him. And what's funny is it's in us as young children, and it's in us as adults. Have you ever noticed that some things you just have a hunger for and you don't ever stop wanting them? It's sad because this time of year where we talk about giving thanks, it's actually a very Christian concept. To sit back, look at your life, look at your gear, and be thankful for all the things and all the people that God has given you. And so I've always loved this time of year because it's one of those few times in life where our culture actually pushes people to think like a Christian. It's funny, if you study American history, there used to be many points in our history where American culture would push you to think about God and Christ and his values, but we see that slipping away more and more each day. And what's sad is, I don't know if you've seen this, but I see this slipping away. You notice how Halloween has grown bigger and bigger? I don't know about you guys, when I was a kid, I don't remember people decorating their houses full-blown like they do now. They got blow-up, they got dolls, they got lights, they got decorations outside. It's a month-long process. Everybody's all got ghosts, goblins, all these things going on. And then what happens is, as soon as Halloween's over, what do you see at the stores? Christmas. Now, as Christians, you'd think we'd be happy about that because Christmas is about Christ. But in our culture, what have we turned it into? Stuff. In fact, already, what have we done to Thanksgiving week? Have you noticed it used to be just Black Friday? Now what is it? Black Friday week. And in this time of the year where we're supposed to sit back and be thankful for everything we have, instead what are we doing? Clipping coupons and watching commercials and looking at all the things we lack that we think we can get a deal on. And let's be real. I mean, how many of these things do we buy and then never use? I mean, I don't know how many of you guys still need a VHS player, right? But Walmart has one for $3. So let's get up at 3 a.m. and trample some people so we can get that. All right, that has become what we've done to this time. And so what I want to do is just pause for a second and remind us that Thanksgiving and giving thanks is a concept that God established and something that he wants in our hearts. And as we see Satan trying to take this holiday that once was about something pure and righteous, let's put our feet in the ground and go, no, we're not going to let you make this about something else. When you go throughout Scripture, you see this all throughout it. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's one key word I want you to see there, and that's that always. All the time. Last week we talked about how for some of us it's hard these holiday seasons because when we look back at the year, sometimes we realize it wasn't a good year. A lot of bad stuff happened. Maybe we lost a job, maybe a relationship went sour. Who knows what could have come our way? But a lot of times we sit there and from a worldly standpoint, we see low points. But what God tells us is always, always give thanks. And it's not just here, it's throughout the Scripture. Hebrews 13:15, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledges his name." Again, what? Continually. All the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." When? All the time. All circumstances. Continually. About a year ago, we went through a series where we talked about what was the plot of the Bible. And one of the things that we really uncovered is our purpose is to glorify God. Our reason for existence, the reason for this creation, is for us to look up at our God and go, "You're amazing. You're awesome." And you know when we do that so well? When we give thanks. When we sit back and we realize all the things that God has given us. And so as we sit here and we think about our gear and we think about the things we're thankful for, what that should twist us to, what that should drive us to, is not just to stop on the blessings themselves, but to let that thankfulness go back up to the one who actually gave them to you. The blesser, our Father, our God. And that's why we want to cherish this time of year. Because it's a time of year where we really can step back amongst all the noise and distractions and just see Him. See Him in all His glory, all His wonder, and all His provisions. A.W. Tozer is a pastor and one of my favorite authors. And this has always been one of my favorite quotes of his. He said, "Sometimes I go to God and say, 'God, if Thou dost never answer another prayer while I live on this earth, I will still worship Thee as long as I live and in the ages to come for what Thou hast already done. God's already put me so far in debt, if that I were to live 1,000,000 millenniums, I couldn't pay Him for what He's done for me.'" You sense the thankfulness in that guy? And what a beautiful statement to realize that right now, at this moment, if God never gave you anything else, He would have given you more than you could ever dreamt of. I don't know about you, but that just makes my heart happy. Because it's so different than the way we think in this world. Commercials, do they ever make you feel good about your life? I mean, what do commercials basically drive within you? A desire that you don't have good stuff. And you need good stuff. And you need to get a better car, a better house, better clothes, better music, better everything. And if you have those things, what will it do? It'll make you happy. That's what we've taught ourselves. In fact, does anybody do that? Do I have any binge shoppers in here? Do you ever have a bad day and you want to go buy something? Okay, so I'll be honest here. Mine's not so much that. Mine's food. So at work this week, we're sitting here and we're going through a lot of changes at work. And we have this disastrous meeting. And immediately, what's funny is me and the two guys I work with, they've really been on this, like, healthy diet. We get out and the guy goes, "I need carbs and I need them now." So we went downstairs, we got chocolate cake and he got a Coke. And he was like, "I need this right now." It was like, bad news happened, and what's going to make me happy? Food. Sugar. I want these things. And I don't know what it is, but we've trained ourselves to think this way. It's funny, I even see it as a parent. The easiest way and the cheapest way to get my son to smile is to what? Go buy him a toy. And that's why you see so many parents, what do they try to do? Buy their way into their children's hearts. But what we need to realize is all those things, they're cheap. They're cheap thrills that never really fill us up. And what we're really driven to work on is God and the relationships that we have with people. So what I'm going to do for the rest of this sermon is just tell you three things that I personally am thankful for. And to be honest, it was kind of hard writing a sermon because I was thinking about all the things God's given me that I'm thankful for. And I said, what should we put into the sermon? The reality is you could do a sermon series on this for 20 years. And never finish. But there's three things that I really think about this year, and I want you to think about them. First, I'm thankful for God. Just God Himself. In Revelation 1:8, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." I love that statement because it paints a picture for us. He is the Alpha, the A, the starting point. He is the Omega, the Z, the end point, and He is everything in between. So many of us, what we try to do is we try to make God just a portion of our life. I have my family, I have my work, I have my hobbies, I have my entertainment, and oh yeah, I have God. And what this verse says is that's not how it works. He's everything. He's absolutely everything. And if we can see Him that way, it completely changes our desire to have Him in our lives and to have us as part of our day-to-day ongoing motives. What I love about God, though, is there's so many pieces to Him. First, In Jeremiah 51:15, it says, "It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens." Do you ever just marvel at how creative and beautiful God is? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever like seen a painting that you just love? The way they use colors or the picture that they drew. Do you not realize how awesome God is as an artist? Do you know who made the colors? He thought them up and made them. Do you know who decided what a crisp morning would feel like when you walk out and that cool breeze hits you? He did. He's one that created the sound of laughter. He's the one that created that happiness in your heart. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen so many things in nature that have just made me silent and awe-inspiring. I mean, I remember for our honeymoon, we went to the ocean. I remember just looking out, and all you could see was water, as far as you could see. And thinking that the only one who knew everything that was out there was who? God. And not only did he know all that, he made all that. I remember being in Colorado hunting one morning and watching the sun just come over the mountaintops. And what was beautiful is of all the things that people have painted and all the pictures you could capture, that moment was more beautiful than them all. And he made it. I mean, have you ever realized everything you see, everything you touch, everything you experience in life, he's the one that created it? It's funny, but in this life, we marvel at so many silly things. I mean, we watch a guy run on a piece of grass and cross a white line and score a touchdown, and we go, yes! Right? We jump up and scream. We throw stuff. We watch a guy put a basketball in a metal circle, and what does the whole stadium do? Jump up. In fact, then what do? We leave and we go paint a picture of him on the back of our windows in the cars. Have you seen that? Why? Because he plays a game. God has made human beings. He's made the universe. He's made the galaxy. He knows it through and through. How awesome is he? Not only is he awesome, but look at what he is. In Jeremiah 9:24, it says this, "But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." It's funny to me that people that don't believe in God, because if you ever look at who God says he is, who doesn't want to believe in that? He is love. He is justice. He is righteousness. He is these things that we seek in our life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a world where those things don't exist, where there is no love, where there is no justice, where there is no righteousness. And what we know about our God is not only is he powerful, but because he's these things, we know that at the end, this will be what's victorious. We know in the darkest days when we see hate, we know in the darkest days when we see unrighteousness, we know in the darkest days when we see justice not prevail, we know that one day, they will. Because one day God will prevail. And he is those things. See, brothers and sisters, when people act like God doesn't exist, I don't think they realize what they're saying is not real. They're saying these things don't exist. He's powerful, he is awesome, and not only is he that, but he's our Father. In John 1:12 it says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God." This is the part that kind of always throws me. He's all-powerful. He's amazingly beautiful. He's amazingly creative. He's amazingly good. He is all love. He is all peace. He is all justice. He is all these things. And then when he looked at you and me, you know what he said? You're mine. I don't know about you, but when I list all the things that God is and then I list who I am, it's not the same list. In fact, it's almost the opposite. I'm continually amazed as I get older how easily I can make things break. How easy it is to mess things up, even when you're not trying. And yet God, in all of his power, in all of his majesty, in all of his love, when he looks down at you and me in our brokenness, in our sin, in our weakness, he goes, "Those are mine. Those are my children." I don't know about you guys, but that makes me so happy. I know for some of you guys, you've never had a good relationship with your parents. But for me, I was blessed to be in a home where I was raised by Christian parents. And because of that, because of the love that I've experienced, I've always been proud to be the child of Kim and Jim Gradeless. What was cool is I became older. I realized not only did I have my biological parents, but I also have a Heavenly Father. And in that same way that I can be proud that they're mine, I can be proud that I'm His. I get to say, that's my Father. I belong to Him. The Creator of the universe, the One that is love, the One that is justice, the One that is righteousness, I'm His. Because He wants me. What an amazing thing to have in our lives. To have a God that loves us like that. Scripture screams to us when we see Him that it should make thanksgiving in our hearts. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. So first and foremost, what am I thankful for? I'm just thankful for God. I think it's important when we think about that, we're thankful for Him, not just what He can give us. Second thing I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for Jesus. In John 10:11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It has always blown me away, and it has really literally changed the entire world, that this is who Jesus was. A man that loved us so much that he willingly laid down his life to save us. I think a lot of people understand that God sent His Son to sacrifice for us, but I think a piece that so many will miss is that not only did Jesus come and do that, He did that willingly. He wanted to sacrifice Himself for us. And in that sacrifice, not only did He defeat sin, not only did He defeat death, not only did He become our Savior, but in that moment, He gave you and I a gift we never could have earned ourselves. I don't know about you, but in life, typically aren't those the gifts that hit home the most? Those ones you realize you could have never, ever gotten on your own? On that cross, Christ did something so amazing to us and gave us the most precious gift, which was His righteousness. In Philippians 3:9, it says, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. I think a lot of people miss this. When Jesus was on that cross and He died, He just didn't take our sin away from us. He just didn't wash us clean. Not only did He take our sin, but He gave us His righteousness. A righteousness earned from being perfect. A righteousness earned from being blameless and pure. What's amazing about that, from a worldly perspective, nobody makes that trade. I mean, in this world, we're taught if you have something of value, what do? You make people give you as much as they possibly can to get it. And typically what we find in this world is we give a lot and we realize when we get it, it's not as good as we thought it was going to be. I don't know about you, but my last pair of Nikes, I did not run faster and I did not jump higher. Okay? God gives us gifts, though, that one, we could have never afforded, and two, once we have them, we realize they're far beyond we ever dreamt. They're far more than we could have ever envisioned. And so to say that I have a shepherd that leads me and a shepherd that gave me His righteousness, what an amazing gift. And then the beauty about Jesus is He's not just stuck in the past. See, a lot of people think it all ended with Christ on that cross. And a lot of people think what they're waiting for is to cash in that present He gave you when you die and get to go to heaven. That's not the story. The beauty of Jesus is what He did started something that impacts you every single day of your life. He tells us in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, not only is He my leader, not only is He my Savior, but He's my Lord. Which means when I run empty, He fills me back up. I don't know about you guys, but the older I get, the more I run empty and the faster I run empty. I mean, as a little kid, the worst thing that happens to you is your toy breaks, right? Or you know what? Oh my goodness, your favorite cereal is not in stock anymore. Nowadays, as an adult, you wake up and things happen to you never dreamt would come to your door. It just keeps happening as you get older. And you know, the sad thing is so many people, what they treat Jesus like is their emergency power. They go to him only when they've run empty and they're out of love, they're out of patience, they're out of hope, and they feel like they're sitting in complete darkness. But you know what he tells us? You don't have to wait till then. Come to me each and every day. Wake up and come to me, and I will give you the fuel that you need to live life. I will give you love. I will give you hope. I will give you light. I will give you the things that will make you a person you never could have been without them, if you'll just come to me. And see, brothers and sisters, that's the relationship so many miss. It's not just what he did on the cross, and it's not just what he does when we show up at the gates of heaven. It's what he does every single day of our lives, being present for us. That's the beauty of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 2:14 it says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." What do we give thanks for? We give thanks that our shepherd, you know where he leads us? To victory. He leads us to victory. I don't know about you guys, I like to win. Does anybody like to win in here? It's a great feeling to win, right? In fact, I know some of you probably cheat at board games to win because you like that feeling so much. I mean, you know it's bad when you're cheating at trouble, right? Have you ever cheated on like a four-year-old, right? Like you're moving your pieces because you want to win? That's when you've got a problem, okay? We love to win. But the beauty of Christ is when we follow him as our shepherd, he always leads to victory, even in the times we don't see it. Whether we're in the green pastures or we're in the valley of the shadow of death, he is leading us one place and one place only, and that is to victory. And it's a victory that this world can't touch. It's a victory of love. It's a victory of justice. It's a victory of righteousness. It's a victory of peace. And when you have that, the world can't comprehend you because it throws its best punches at you over and over again. And what do? You just keep getting back up. I love when I read through Scripture and I see men like Paul who understood where their Savior took them. Because what you saw about a man like Paul was his enemies didn't know how to hurt him. They're sitting there going, "We threw you in jail, and you started singing praise songs and converting the prisoners. We tried to kill you and stoned you with rocks when you preached, and what did you do? You dusted yourself off and walked right back into town. We threw you into house arrest where you were sick, broke, and without friends. And when you wrote about your life, what did you say? I loved it. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And even right now, there is a cup of righteousness being poured out for me. A crown awaits me." His enemies hated him. You can't hurt the guy. Why? Because he followed Christ to a victory that the world can't touch. That's a victory that he offered not just to Paul, but to you and to me. And that's why we give thanks. The third thing I'm thankful for, besides God our Father and Jesus the Son, is the kingdom of God. It's beautiful to me when you really study Scripture how God really just flipped the script on what this was. What I mean is, in the Old Testament, they knew a Messiah was coming, but they thought that Messiah was going to establish a kingdom here on earth. And so when Jesus showed up, what the Israelites expected, what the Jews wanted, was a castle with a moat and the walls around it, and gold in the bank, and treasures, and a military force, and a kingdom that maybe would last 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Jesus came to him and goes, "You don't get it. I have come to give you a kingdom far better than that. You want a kingdom that can actually be touched by the things of this earth, and what I'm going to give you is a kingdom far greater. A kingdom that lives in your hearts, a kingdom that lives through the Holy Spirit that is in you as a believer. And that you and I not only get to be children of God, but get to be part of that kingdom is such a gift. In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Brothers and sisters, this is the material wealth of our kingdom of God. It's not Cadillacs, it's not clothes, it's not big houses. It's these things. But I don't know about you, but if I get to choose between a nice car or that list, I'll take that list all day long. In fact, you know what's sad is a lot of the people who are buying those things and wasting their time on it, you know what they're trying to get? Are those things. See, because they don't have love in their life, they have to hope a car can make them feel joy. Because they don't have people that will sacrifice for them just because of who they are, they try to make people work for them because of a title that they have. See, Christ came to give us a kingdom that is built on these things, and I don't know about you, but that's a world I want to live in. Those are the things I want to see in my house. Those are the things I want to see in my family. Those are the things I want to see in my own life. And at the end of my days, if you can say any of those things about me, it'll mean far more than the amount of money that's sitting in a bank account. He gave us a kingdom built on truly glorious things. Not only that, but listen to what happens in Ephesians 2:20. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The other thing he gives us in this kingdom is he gives us a family. I told you before earlier that my family has been a huge blessing in my life. We moved a lot as kids. And so the bad part of that, it was really hard on friendships. The great part of it was I knew I had to have good relationships with my mom, my dad, my brothers, and my sisters, because they were going to be the one consistent wherever I went. And to this day, you know, I cherish my best friends are my brothers. And I love that. Because you know what's great about your family? They really know you. Have you ever had friends that don't really know you? All right, with friends, you can sometimes put that facade on, and you can kind of paint a picture of who you wanted to think you are. But deep down, there's a part of you they don't really know. How many of you guys are like on the first date have that moment where you're like, so who do I want to make this girl think I am? Right? I'm going to be James Bond tonight. That's right. And I remember, so the funniest part for me was, is anytime we moved, I would always think at the new school, I was going to be a different guy. At this school, I'm going to be the cool guy. At this school, I'm going to be a little dark and mysterious. You know? At this school, I'm not going to give away the backstory. They're not going to know where I came from, right? Maybe like Clint Eastwood riding into town. And you know what I realized? Every school I went to, do you know who I ended up being? Me. The kind of nerdy kid who liked to play sports and answered every question because he thought he was smarter than everybody. And just, you are who you are. But you know, there's some people in life who are so good at lying that nobody knows who they are. Only their family. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. To this day, if I walk into my parents' house with the intention to lie, my mom goes, don't. I'm like, I didn't even say anything. She goes, don't. You're about to lie to me. I'm like, okay, never mind. I'm going to walk back out and try this over. What's beautiful, though, is for some of us, we didn't have that family when we grew up. What God gives us is not just a family that's about the blood that's in the veins, but a family that's built on the blood that washed us clean. A family that comes not from who our Father is here on earth, but who our Father is in heaven. And so what's been beautiful is as I get older, is not only do I have that family that I was born into, but now I have my family with my wife and my son. I have her relatives as family, and now I have a church family. A people that you can be real with, a people that you can be honest with, a people that you share the joys and the weaknesses, a people that helps you get through life. Because you know what? It's hard sometimes. And it's good to know that you have people around you that you can truly call yours. And in this kingdom, that's what God gives us. is not just him, but us. A family that trusts in him and loves in him. In Hebrews 12:28, it also says this. It says, therefore, let us be grateful for a king, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. The beauty of this kingdom and the beauty of all God's gifts is they're really just untouchable. Anybody play Mario way back when? Mom, raise that hand. You were an addict. She would always say, so here's how it would go in our house, right? I'd start playing and go, Mom, I need help with this. 4 hours later, Mom, can I please have the control back? Please, Mom? Please? My favorite part of Mario is there was this little star that you could get, and when you got that star, you started blinking, and you know what happened? You were invincible. You could not die. You could run into anything, jump off cliffs, didn't matter, you were fine and good to go. That's what the kingdom of God is like. He gives you things that just can't be touched by this earth. He gives you things that just can't be broken or taken away. I've seen the people who are crushed because they define themselves by things of this world and then they're stripped from them. And sometimes they're the silliest of things. Have you ever met the high school athlete who wishes he was still in high school? Why? Because his whole life was about being the quarterback. And then a terrible thing happened. He graduated and he wasn't the quarterback anymore. And all of a sudden it went, who am I? I used to be king of this very small kingdom, but I was king. And now, I'm just one of the crowd. I've seen men who is about their job title, and my goodness, what happens when they get demoted or they lose their jobs? They literally don't know who they are. So many of us make it about title, about wealth, about things of this earth. And when you do that, your world is fragile. It can be stripped from you in a second. But when you make your identity who you are to God, it never changes. You know why? He never changes. He looks at you in your best and he looks at you in your worst. And in both those times, he tells you, you're my child and I love you. In both those times, he offers you forgiveness and grace and mercy. And so when you build your life around this kingdom, you truly start to feel like a king. Because you start to look at life and realize, I have absolutely everything I could have ever wanted or dreamt of. I have love. I have peace. I have joy. And nobody can touch them. Nobody. And for that, we give God thanks. If you have your Bibles, just open up with me. I want to leave with one last story that kind of shows something, though, that happens to people. It's in Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, there's a story about Jesus during his life and ministry. It talks about a miraculous healing he performed. In Luke 17, 11, it says this, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Brothers and sisters, the reality of these things I'm thankful for is they're offered to us all. Every single one of us in this room and in this world has been offered God, has been offered Jesus, and has been offered a place in the kingdom. But just like in this story where Jesus walks up to 10 men who are the outcast of society, people that nobody even wanted to have in the same building as them, Jesus went to them and healed them. but only one came back to thank him. You know what the difference was? Is 9 out of those 10 guys were caught up in what had been given to them. Their eyes couldn't see past the gift. But that Samaritan, once he realized what happened to him, his vision just didn't stop at being healed. It went back to the one that did it for him. And so the first act of his life being healed and restored was to go right back to the one who did it, fall upon his face and go, God, I love you. Thank you. I praise you. Brothers and sisters, is that us? Is that what we do? See, the Bible warns us that man doesn't do this. In Romans 1:21 it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Brothers and sisters, God has given us so much. So much. We could literally just go on for days about the blessings that he has poured on us. My prayer for you is that in this week, you won't let that be you. That your hearts won't be darkened by looking at the things of this world, but instead in your hearts there will be light. Light that comes from seeing the God Almighty who has blessed you so much. That when you sit there on Thursday, whether it's eating turkey or eating Spam out of a can, you realize you can be thankful because you are a child of God. And with whatever you have, you'll fall before him and go, Father, I praise you. I praise you. We have so much, so much. And the beautiful part of it is none of it is things that you can hold in your hands. It's only things you can treasure in your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we are just so thankful.